hearing you preach. And I don't want to make light of the car issue either, but I'm thankful you're here.
I'm thankful I was able to make him sweat a little few bullets. No, I tried to call as soon as I could, so I knew that that he would probably be the one, and so give you plenty of time. But thank the Lord we were able to make it on in. And if we look a little road weary, it's because we are. All right, we've been traveling a little bit, but we're thankful to be here. Thankful to be home. It's a blessing to be here. Boy, wasn't the music good tonight?
Yeah.
Everything, that choir was especially good. And that's the only time of year I ever get to sing in the choir. And I always try to stand by Brother Gary because I always sound better when I stand beside him. So anyway, but that was good. But again, music is so important, isn't it? So important, so good. That special, the Molars sing. I don't be offended if somebody else has sang that, but I hadn't heard that saying. It took me all the way back to 1994 at Calvary Baptist Church. I don't know if Miss Robin remembers or not. Miss Tori Hubbard sang that song. We had just gotten saved, and it took me all the way back there. That's a few years ago, 1994, and all the sheltered by His grace. Just some tremendous music tonight. Again, thank you for your prayers. Lord willing, this will have been our last long trip. We made it to Naples, about 3,200 miles. About 15 days and a lot of diesel, all right? But we made it, got Taylor's things delivered. And if you haven't heard the news, I know I don't look like it, but and my wife sure don't look like it, but we're going to be grandparents. We found that out the first day that we got there. That was a shocker, but it is what it is. And so we're looking forward to that. And but again, thank you so much for all the prayers that go up on our behalf. As far as, and let me just say this, and then we'll get right to it. As far as support and deputation, by all accounts, we're not at 100%. We're not fully supported, but we are at a point. We're at a place where we could, if we would get our visa, that we could begin to set dates, you know, order tickets kind of things. We're at that point. And so just continue to remember the visa situation in prayer, that God would move that across the desk at just the right time. And it is Him that does it. It's not some kind of scheme. It's not some kind of a backdoor scheme. It's God that moves that paperwork right at the right time. And so just pray for me, I guess, that I would be patient in waiting on this paperwork. But while we're waiting, we're going to be here. We're going to be here. So you might get tired of us, but we're going to be here. Just get plugged in, do whatever we can, however we can. I just love being here. I sure do. All right, take your Bibles tonight. Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Jeremiah, as it said there in the scripture, he's known as the weeping prophet. He would weep over the condition of Israel in his day, as you read through the book of Jeremiah. And maybe it was as people watched Jesus more than one time weep over Israel, his people, out of compassion that they would come unto him. Maybe it was that they thought of Jeremiah. And as I said, Jesus was brought to tears more than once over the condition of his people. It wasn't just tears, though. Jesus' tears provoked him. It moved him to do something about it. It moved him to involve himself. And so let me just ask us this question, and we'll continue on. When was the last time that you and I were brought to tears over our people, over America? I know our country is going to hell in a handbag. People say, oh, it's going down, it's morally corrupt, and we get mad at what's taking place. But when was the last time that the condition of our society and the lostness of our society brought us to a place of tears? It might be, I don't know, it might be that that's what's lacking. There might be a lot of the sowing of the Word of God, but there might be a lack of tears watering that seed. That's to be sown, this matter of compassion and concern. And it should motivate it. It's not enough for us just to say, well, I feel sorry. But it should motivate us to involve ourselves in something, in doing something about it. Right? It should cause some action. Compassion is it involves action. As Brother Alexander mentioned, the outreach coming up, I mean, that should be a part of our life. not just once a month, though. We should do that as we live our life every day of the week. It should be normal in our lives that we should seek to reach out, because this world needs the gospel, and we know that tonight. Let's move on. Some said that he was at least one of the prophets. That's what they say, Elijah or John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He's got to be at least a prophet. They couldn't account for him in an ordinary way. They knew he was special. And matter of fact, they ranked him among the prophets, these men of vision, these men who declared the word of God during their time. And you know what? All of these views lifted him above the status of an ordinary man. But you know what? They all fell very short of who he really was. He's the Son of God, and Peter would declare that, the Son of the living God. Not all humanity thought him to be a great man. Some thought he was a nobody. Some thought him to be evil. Some referred to him as a lowly carpenter, the son of Joseph, a sinner, a devil, a madman, a fool, and that he was beside himself. And so there was varying opinions in that day. There were those that thought he was a prophet, those that thought he ranked among the prophets, and there were those that thought evil of him. And we still today have varying opinions of who Jesus is. Most hold him to be a good man, a great teacher, while many hold him just to be an ordinary man, a man who lived and died just as all men do. And again, this once again proves that we can't make a personal decision by polling people, right? You can't make a spirit. Let's talk about spiritual. You can't make a spiritual decision by sticking your finger up in the air and say which way the wind's blowing. That everybody's got to be right. There's right and there's wrong. There's right and there's wrong. It's not, well, I feel this and I feel this. No, it's what does God say? What does the Word of God say in that regard? It's not what others say about Christ, but what we say individually. And he gets a bit personal, doesn't he? He says, what's the Word? Well, some say this and some say this. And then he says, who say ye that I am? He might not say, who say ye? But what's he say? He says, let me say, whom do men say? No, down further than that. Let's see. It doesn't matter. All right? I don't got to spend time finding it. That's wasting preaching time, all right? But anyway, Jesus personalized the question, and he asked his disciples individually who they thought he was. And as I mentioned, as I was reading, Peter gives a correct response, not based upon his own investigation, but based upon the fact that God had revealed this truth to him. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but God did. God made this known in your heart. Not a bunch of opinions of man and this, that, and the other, but God, the Spirit of God and the Word of God, made himself known unto you. And of course, there's secular proof that Jesus existed, but ultimately, we believe upon Jesus by faith, don't we? We do. I mean, we've never seen Jesus Christ with our physical eye. But we've seen him with the eye of faith. The same thing is true. There is secular proof regarding the Word of God and the fact that that God promised to preserve it. But ultimately, we believe it by faith. By faith. God said, what do you mean by that? Just blind faith? No, God said, I'm going to preserve it. And bless God, that's exactly what he did. Right? I'm going to tell you, one of the things that's taken place, not just in our day, but for a long time, is that people are putting a question mark where God has placed a period. They put a question mark on the Word of God. Do we got it? Do we not have it? Do we just have it in thought? Do we just have it in concept? No, we have it in the preserved Word of God right here before us. And that's not up for question. That is a period. There's absolute truth. Absolute truth. It's not up for debate. It's not up for debate. I don't get in debates about the Word of God. You know what this is? It's like a lion. You just open it up and let it go, right? You don't got to defend a lion. Just open the cage and let him go. You don't got to defend the Word of God. Just open it up and let it go, because it will truth always, always prevails. So let me ask you this. Who is Christ to you? Is he just a man in history, a preacher, a prophet? Or let me say this, is he your Savior tonight? You find yourself here tonight saved by the grace of God. Could you like Peter stand and say, confess him? Listen, he is the Christ. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are my Savior. You can do that tonight. If you're not saved here tonight, you can confess him as such, receive him as such, and he will indeed be your your Savior. Now then Jesus begins to, we'll get to the message. I told you about keys, right? We'll get to that in just a little while. All right? But again, I told you, this is a wonderful passage. There's so many things that you can't just look over. And then Jesus begins teaching about the building of his church. Not just any church, but his church, his assembly. And you know what the word church means, but I'm going to tell you again, it comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means an assembly. You come together, a called out assembly. Church is always used to mean something local and visible. In the Word of God, we read of the church in, the church at, or the church of. A physical locality always in the Word of God. There's always been and always will be a true church until Jesus comes. What do you mean by that? I mean those, does that mean it has to be called Baptist? Well, back in the day, maybe there were some that were not called Baptist. Those that are trying to hold the same doctrine taught by Jesus and his apostles who made up that first church. And we need to emphasize how important, let me emphasize how important church is. This is important tonight. It's important for you and I to be here. Jesus established the church to allow us to have a place. Now, I understand we can worship God anywhere. You understand that, Michael? We can worship God anywhere. But His day, on His day, the Lord's day, He has called us to come apart and worship Him and honor Him on His day. And so that's one of the reasons we're here tonight, to worship Him. And we were able to do that through the music, through the song, through giving, and then through the reading of the Word of God, just thinking about what He's done for us. It's a place that we can come together, a place to learn and grow and serve, a place to give, and a place to bring honor and glory unto the Savior. You understand tonight that it was in a church setting all throughout my saved life. Got saved in 1994. My wife got saved the same year, just a few months later. But it's always been in a church setting underneath the preaching of the Word of God, where all the if you want to put it like this, all the major spiritual decisions took place in our life. What do you mean by that? I mean steps of obedience, steps of understanding the Word of God, steps of having the Word of God declared to us and the Spirit of God on the inside opening our understanding and say, that's what the Bible says. That's what God would have me to do. Then that's what I'm going to do. And taking steps of obedience, it's been underneath the preaching of the Word of God. Church, we understand, is not a social club where we go to be entertained. It's a beautiful and wonderful thing to have fellowship. I love talking before church and after church, and maybe sometimes we stay a little bit long, but that's all right. Just flick the lights a couple times and maybe we'll get on out of here. But no, I'm going to tell you this, that's a sign of a healthy church. Yes. When they get there early and they stay late, when they hit the door as quick as they can, that's not a sign of someone that's too interested in the things of God or the people of God. Amen. I'll just say that right there. It is, all right? But it's needful, it's wonderful. But verse 19, let's get there, okay? Verse 19, Jesus speaks about giving the church some keys. He was not just giving them to Peter, but the church collectively. And again, we still have these keys today. These keys to the kingdom, as he refers to them. These keys to the kingdom can't be lost. They can't be lost. They can be cast aside and maybe not used, as is in case a lot today. But the fact that Jesus gave these keys to the church to use remains still today. It's still possible. It's still possible to use these keys to open the door of faith to someone who's lost. The keys, if you've not got it yet, the keys to the kingdom is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've been given that. I'm not saying that we have the ability to save people. No. But we've been given the gospel, the keys to open the kingdom of God in the lives of individuals. Now let's speak a little bit about these keys. The owner of these keys, a key speaks of authority. Right? Many times in the Word of God. Matter of fact, a couple times in Revelation, in Revelation 1, it speaks of Jesus having the keys of death and hell. Later on, towards the end of the Revelation, it speaks of him, of Jesus having the keys to the bottomless pit. And binding the devil. And that what that speaks, it speaks of authority. It speaks of one who has authority over all. He has authority over death and over hell and over everything. And so keys speak of authority. And Jesus is the one with all authority. And matter of fact, he would later, just a little bit, about 10 chapters or so later in Matthew 28, he would transfer that authority. He would say, all power is given to me. Go ye therefore. He would transfer that authority to the New Testament church. Keys speak also of ownership. We can say that Jesus is the owner of the gospel in that he is the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection. Keys also speak of responsibility. While Christ was alive, he proclaimed the gospel. He used it as keys to open the door of faith to those who would believe. And as I said in Matthew 28 and verse number 18, it doesn't stop with all powers given unto me in heaven and earth. He goes on to say, again, go ye therefore. He transfers that authority. He transfers not just the authority, but he transfers the responsibility. It is our responsibility as a New Testament Baptist church to reproduce ourselves. Not just collectively in starting churches. Praise God for the churches that have been started through the years out of Berean Baptist Church. But we're also to reproduce ourselves individually. Individually, we're to seek to reproduce ourselves and we're responsible to do so. He didn't give up the ownership, but he made his church responsible for using the keys. Matter of fact, the message is for us today. Because, well, second of all, the ones entrusted with the keys, Berean Baptist Church. Berean Baptist Church has been entrusted. Matter of fact, every New Testament Baptist church has been entrusted with the keys of the kingdom. We've been commissioned to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. The Apostle Peter used these keys in the book of Acts. To open the door of faith to the Jews in Acts chapter 2, when he stood up and preached on the day of Pentecost, what did he do? He preached the gospel. In Acts chapter 8, the door of faith would be opened to the Samaritans by the preaching of the gospel. In Acts chapter 10, to the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius, again, these keys were used. The gospel, and as a church, we're a divinely established institution. We're an authorized recruiting agency for the king and his kingdom. We're to be building his kingdom. We're not to seek to build our own kingdom, but we're to build his kingdom. We're to seek to be a witness and a testimony and to use the keys. We're not the ones that save. It's not up to us. I'm going to tell you what, way before I was a preacher, when I just was a pew sitter, one of the most freeing things in my life was that it's not up to me. I don't do the saving. It's not how I word things and how I can trick someone into something. No. It's God's job. I'm just to deliver the message. I'm just to give them the keys. I'm just to share the gospel and let God, through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, open their heart to receive the truths of the Word of God. Keys also speak of entrance. Now this is deep, all right? So if you're drifting, you better focus right in. Keys speak of entrance. There it is. Without the key to this building, you can't come in. You understand? Amen. If you don't got the key, you're not coming in. The right key allows entrance. And may I emphasize, and we'll do so a little bit more in a moment, but you can't just have any key. You got to have the right key. You got to have the right key to get in. Jesus also describes entering into salvation as entering in through the door, doesn't he? In John chapter 10, those first 10 verses, I'm not going to read that, but Jesus would literally say, I'm the door. You're going to come in, you're going to come through me. And so Jesus is the door, the gospel is the key. Keys also speak of exclusion. You understand? They speak of exclusion. Keys are used to keep people out. And again, if you don't have the key, you can't come in. The gospel excludes those who don't want to come in through the gospel. You're not going to get in some other way. You're not going to say, well, you know, it's like saying all roads lead to heaven. All keys work in a door. No, they don't. No, they don't. There's one key that fits it. There's one way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by but by me, those that try to enter the kingdom of God, into the family of God, if you will, the kingdom of God, through their good works, through their baptism, through their church membership, will find that entrance is only with the key, and the key is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keys also speak of invitation. As the one with the key to this building, or we could also say to our individual house, we can invite people in. Why? We have that right and that ability. We have the key to our home. We can open the door and say, come on in. But also, there's an exclusion aspect of that as well. Now that we have the power to, not that we have the power to save, but that we've been given heaven's authority to give the gospel and allow them to receive or reject and thus enter into the kingdom of God or be excluded. It's their choice. It's their choice. It's not up to us. We just use the key. We have the gospel. We've been given the gospel. The keys to the kingdom. Opening up the kingdom of God. Opening up the hearts of individuals. The owner of the keys, Jesus Christ, has entrusted us, His church, to use these keys. We're to be using them. To give the gospel to those around us. To open the door of faith to those that are lost. And so let me ask you this. Where do you find yourself this evening? Where do you find yourself this evening? I know we've predominantly spent our time on the as a believer, our responsibility and the authority we have to use the keys, use the gospel to see people saved. But where do you find yourself in regards to the kingdom of God? Are you on the inside or on the outside? Has there been a time in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Again, I'm not one that thinks you got that believes you got to know the exact date and all of that. But I'm going to tell you this: you need to remember a time. You need to remember a time when you individually, not because Mama said or Daddy said or Grandpa said or whoever said, but me individually. Can I go back to a place where God, through the Word of God, hemmed me up and began to deal with my heart about my lost condition? About the fact of sin, that if I die in that state, I'd be separated from God forever and forever. But I'm so thankful for Brother Sam Varghese who came to our house. And I know I've told you this several times, but that's all right. I like to hear it myself. I'm thankful that he did. I'm thankful that he came to my house, that he took the time. Here it is. Here's another poke for the visitation aspect. I'm thankful that he came on visitation that Thursday night. Thankful he didn't say, well, I guess I'm going to do something else. No. He took the time to come to our house. And then he didn't just do some small talk. Now, we did do some small talking, but I'm going to tell you what, he got to the cross. He got to my eternal destiny and questioned me where I'm going to spend it. And I said, I have no idea. I've been told this, this, and this. And he said, would you like to know? And I said, I sure would. And I'm so thankful that he took the Bible. We went back to he didn't say, you just do this, do this, and do this. He took the Word of God, and I needed that. Because I'd been influenced by all these other religions growing up, and I'd heard this and heard this. And I'm going to tell you, what we need is what God says regarding salvation. What does the Bible say? Not what does this church say, but what does the Bible say? And he showed me from the Word of God how to be saved. And he showed me my sin in the book of Romans chapter 3. In verses 10 and verse number 23, and he showed me how that Christ, while I was yet a sinner, that Christ died for me. He took my place, and that if I would believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, and that I would be willing to seek to turn from my sin and turn to Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, not that that's a work, not that we have to get things right in order to be saved, but the Bible says that salvation is repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, a willingness to turn a sickness of our sin. And I believe that God gives us the ability to turn from that sin and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I'm thankful that he showed me and I was able to read it with my two eyeballs what God said regarding salvation. And I bowed my knee and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And you know what happened that night? I got in. I got in. Not because I deserved it, not because I was such a good old boy, nothing, none of that, not on my own merits, but I received the gospel. I believed the gospel by faith, and that's what the Bible says in order to be saved. And there is no in between. You're either in or you're out. There's not. It's not a straddling situation. No. You're either in or out. And Berean Baptist Church, we've been authorized and commissioned to use the gospel to seek to see people saved. The question is are we collectively, are we using it? Are we using it? Are we using the gospel? Maybe you find yourself here this evening, though. Let me step back for just a moment. Maybe you find yourself here this evening on the outside looking in. I'm glad to tell you that I have the keys this evening. I have the keys. It's called the gospel. Jesus has entrusted us with the gospel. And my friend, that's a way to enter into the kingdom of God. So tonight, if you find yourself here and you're lost, you need to be saved, please respond to an invitation. Let someone take, maybe you have a question regarding it. Let someone take the Word of God and show you what God says regarding salvation. Get that matter nailed down. Get in, if you will. And as believers tonight, I just want to offer a challenge to us tonight. Let's ask God that He'd give us opportunity this week to share the gospel. That He'd allow us the opportunity to share a gospel tract. I tell you, one of the things that I there's no excuse but an excuse, right? There's no good excuse other than passing by and not failing to get some and put in my pocket. How many times I go through a drive-thru or I'm at this and I say, man, I wish I had a drink. No excuse for that other than go by there and pick some up. Would to God that we would empty that track rack out there. That'd give Brother Tim something else to do, right? Something else to order and to fill it up. And so let me offer that challenge to you tonight. Pray and ask God, as Brother Ben preached a few weeks ago, for boldness. It takes boldness, Holy Ghost boldness. No one, you say, well, you've been saved since 1994, you've been on visitation. Oh yeah, but I'm still scared to death when I knock on the door. But you know what? As soon as that door opens, God takes over. That's all I can tell you. I'm not saying it's some kind of a out-of-body experience. I'm going to tell you this. When you're seeking to do the work of God and the will of God, God will give you the words to say. You say, well, I'm a little nervous. I can't speak. Well, go with someone who can. Go with someone who can. And you say, well, and you know what? I can't physically go. Well, pray during those times. You say, well it's from X 10 o'clock till 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, whatever. Pray during those times that those that go out would have opportunity to share the gospel with people. They'd have receptive hearts and people would be saved. That's what's needed. That's what's needed in this community. We need not get concerned about what this church is doing and what this church is doing and what these people are doing, what these people are doing. Let's get concerned about what God would have us to do. And He'd have us to seek to be a light in this community, a light of truth, absolute truth. Not up for debate and opinion, but absolute truth regarding salvation. Are you saved tonight? If not, come. And as believers, let's just agree together to seek to be used of God this week. All right? Stand with me and let's have a word of prayer together. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thankful for the privilege to be able to open your word. Thankful, God, to be able to read words of the Lord Jesus Christ regarding the opinions of Him. And Lord, no doubt there's all kinds of opinions regarding the ways of salvation. I mean, even on this street right here, you could go to any number of buildings and church buildings and hear, well, you got to be baptized to be saved. You got to have some emotional fit to be saved. You got to be on the church roll to be saved. But God, I'm so thankful here at Berea Baptist Church that we have the Word of God that says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Lord, if there be one here tonight that's lost, I pray they would that Your Holy Spirit would begin to convict their hearts regarding that matter. That's the only way that true salvation can take place. They must be drawn by the Spirit of God and the Word of God in their hearts. And Lord, if there be one here tonight, that they'd be saved. And Lord, to those of us that are,